This episode of The Kona Edge is brought to you by Audible.com. Get a free audiobook download and a 30-day free trial at thekonaedge.com/free trial. With titles like Dan Golding's Winning at 70.3, How to Dominate the Middle Distance, and Chris McCormack's I'm Here to Win, a world champion's advice for peak performance, Audible has you covered. With over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player, discover more at thekonaedge.com/free trial.
Welcome to the Kona Edge, where you'll discover what the best triathletes in the world do to give them the edge.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Kona Edge. I'm Brad Brown, and awesome to have you with us. Thank you for taking the time to touch base with me. I really do love hearing from each and every one of you. It's always just such a thrill to get emails into my inbox. If you want to be in touch, my email address is brad@thekonaedge.com. It goes straight into my inbox, and yeah, I love hearing from you. So let me know your thoughts on the podcast. We'd love to hear from you, brad@thekonaedge.com. Let's get into today's podcast, though. I get to share a pretty incredible story of a young man who's fairly new in the sport, but burst onto the scene over the last few years, has been grappling with the idea of whether or not he should turn professional. And we'll chat a little bit about that on today's podcast too. But he finished second in his age group on the Big Island in 2015 with a sub-1 hour swim, a sub-5 hour bike, rather, I should say. And he just missed out on the sub-3 hour marathon. Phenomenal performance, just over 9 hours on his Kona debut. And we head to Colorado now to touch base with Steve Mantell. Steve, welcome. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Steve, I'm pretty stoked to have you on. You had an incredible race in Kona in 2015. You literally just burst onto the scene. You haven't been around the sport for a long, long time, and you've picked it up like an absolute natural.
Well, it's a really interesting sport. I think it's kind of something that a lot of people can get into. I've just had a lot of fun, and I've had a lot of help along the way where people have kind of taught me how to do well. And I think it's a sport where, if you work hard and you want to, I don't know, just continue improving, it's good for that.
Absolutely. Let's talk about your childhood, though. I mean, triathlon hasn't been a part of your life for that long. But you were an active youngster. You played a bit of sport. It wasn't triathlon, but you were into some other things.
Yeah. So I grew up in Minnesota, and it's really cold there, like the majority of the year. So I tell people pretty much when it gets to November, it's really cold. And we have ice rinks outside. So there's all the baseball fields, pretty much like a few in every neighborhood. We flood the baseball fields and turn them into hockey rinks. So in Minnesota, hockey is pretty much life. And so I grew up playing hockey, really, really loved it, loved to skate, loved to be outside, loved to play, just compete. And I played soccer as well. I really liked that sport. I don't know, I liked the team sports, just being a part of something bigger and working towards a common goal. And I met a lot of really cool kids. And yeah, just some phenomenal athletes and teams I was a part of. But yeah, so I did hockey and soccer when I was younger. Throughout high school, I was pretty competitive at them, and I went to Colorado State University for my undergrad, and I wanted to play hockey there, and so I played. They have like it's a club sport, so it's not like a university funded thing, but it's just it's still pretty competitive. So I played club hockey at Colorado State my freshman year, and it just was a little bit different. It was different than what I had back in Minnesota. The style of hockey and just, it was just, I don't know. I wasn't having as much fun as I was expecting to, and as much as I wanted to. And so, that spring I ended up joining there's a club triathlon team at CSU as well. And, I joined that, and everybody was really welcoming, and, yeah, it was a great environment. It pushed me. I showed up to a swim practice and just got my ass kicked, and really liked it from then on. And yeah, the coaches were awesome, teammates were awesome, and a lot of really good memories. I'm still pretty involved with the team, and it's really awesome to have been a part of it these past few years, as it's attracted a lot more kids and just grown. So it's really cool. It's a good sport. Even though it's an individual sport, it's really good to have like a team. I think it's good to have a team or other people that you can train with on a regular basis. So yeah, that's how I kind of got into triathlon. I knew I wanted to do endurance stuff eventually. And so my sister suggested that I give triathlon a shot. So yeah, that's about it.
I'm glad you brought up the individual side of triathlon. It's interesting that someone who came from a team sport perspective and loved the team sport side of things ended up in a sport. And Ironman can get very lonely at times, but you mentioned the group of people that you train with and get to hang out outside of an actual race. And it's important to have that sort of support structure around you, particularly if you want to go on and do the longer stuff and get better at the longer stuff.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I think, like everything, there needs to be a good balance, you know? Like, it's good to have people around you if you want to push yourself. I think it's easier to push yourself with other people around you if you got a hard session. But I also think it's important to kind of be able to step back and if you need a recovery session, if you need an easier day, if you need some time to yourself, then it's good to be able to kind of, I guess, train on your own a bit as well. Because I mean, ultimately eventually you're going to be racing on your own. So you should be able to do it a little bit, but it's always good. I think that, having a group just gives you a lot more motivation. Other people have other stuff going on in their lives. And I think it's easy to, especially with the longer distances, to get totally consumed with, how much training you're doing, how much you should be doing, worrying about all that. When you're interacting with other people, you realize that other people are there for you. It's not like you're suffering out there on your own. Other people care about you, and there's other things going on in the world. Triathlon, yeah, might be an obsession. You might really, really like it, but in the big scheme of things, it's really just a hobby, and we're all doing it to enjoy it. And I think having other people around you really gives you a bigger sense of balance to your life.
Steve, you mentioned that first swim session you did where you got your, as you put it, your ass handed to you. I find that really, really funny. But you must have discovered pretty soon that you were fairly good at this, because, I mean, you've like I said when we started, you've really burst onto the scene, and you're pretty quick. We'll talk about some of the splits in a moment. But when did you realize that, you know what, I can be pretty good at this thing?
I don't think there was an exact moment. I think I did. I've always been kind of just competitive. Like when I get in a race, I like to race. I think there's been, I've just progressively kind of learned, that I, you know, I didn't really ever concern myself with my own results. I just kind of went out and raced, and then whatever happened, and other people would kind of look at it and be like, wow, that was amazing. But I think probably after, for Colorado State University, there's like a collegiate national championship, and that was like I loved that race. That was a really, really competitive race every year. And we would, as a team, we'd kind of like focus on that each year. And so, my second and third year racing that, I did pretty well. And so I was able to, I mean, I was right up there, like kind of working my way up on the run, like with some people that I had always been like looking up to, and I knew they were fast. And then, I mean, I still don't consider myself incredible. I just work hard, and I like going out and racing hard. I think, it doesn't matter to me past results. I just want to keep on improving. And I'm in the sport really to just see how far I can go and really just enjoy it. So I think probably this year, once I've started competing as a pro, I really like being able to at least be close to some of these really elite guys, even just starting and watching them, starting on the same start line as them and watching how they race and go about it and being close to them. I think anytime anybody sees themselves able to hang with them on the bike or on the run, then, you know, that gives you a lot of positive reinforcement that you're doing something right, and that it's just really cool to be a part of somebody else's race as well.
Talk to me about the distances and the step up to do an Ironman. I mean, it's big. It's a long time. It's not a decision that can be taken lightly. What's your favorite distance to race, and why Ironman? I mean, you've raced a couple. You've raced in Kona. You obviously like the distance. You're good at it. But what's the attraction?
I do like Ironman. I like it a lot. I wish I could race it a lot more frequently, but it just takes so much out of your body. I think probably my favorite distance is probably a half Ironman right now. It's tricky. I'm still working on figuring things out. You're like on the limit, like for 4 hours, and it's really hard to figure out nutrition. Whereas for an Ironman, it's kind of, for me at least, it's kind of like just a kind of go all day sort of pace, you know. You can't really ever go too hard the first 6 or 7 hours, because then you're going to blow up. And the task of doing Ironman is really taunting. I think it's really attractive because it's just so epic. And to even think about riding 100 miles in itself is a hard day. It's a long day. And then to think about somebody, you have to run a marathon after that. I mean, that's like insane. And looking back at the distance, it's like, I have no idea how I did that, let alone why. I mean, it's like we do anything, it's like a challenge. And Kona was an awesome experience. I think it's nothing else is like it, with the atmosphere, the difficulty of the course, with everybody there. It was really awesome. I think Ironman's attractive just because people want to get there, and the distance seems impossible. So when you're doing it and when you finish it, it's like, wow, I just did something impossible, and that's addicting.
It is. Steve, it's interesting you talk about wanting to race them as often as you can, and obviously the toll it takes on your body, it's not really possible. One of the downsides I find with Ironman is it's almost impossible to have the perfect race. There's always something you feel that could have gone better, and the opportunities to try and fix those don't come around very often. And it's almost, you talk about the addictive nature of it, it's almost that sucks you in and keeps you coming back for more.
Totally, yeah. Even if you win, I'm sure there's something you could pick apart your race where there's something you could have improved on. Like with Ironman, you have 8, 9, 10, 11 more hours, 11 plus hours where something could go wrong. And, you know, if it happens early on, if it's big enough, it's going to affect like 4 more hours of your race. And that's what's so tough. Like, no, if you pace wrong, if you get your nutrition wrong, if like you get a flat and you let it get to your head. I mean, it's more, I've heard people say this, and it's really just about like how you respond to these setbacks, you know. It's not about necessarily like how hard can you push yourself, but how are you going to respond to a setback? That's what I think is really cool about Ironman is, and a lot of people that do well at it is like, okay, maybe I'm not feeling great, but how am I going to adapt to this? How am I going to change my race plan so that I can get through this and still finish? You know, it's so hard to go into such a long day with a time in your head when so many things could affect that. And there's so many things like out of your control that that really might affect your race. And I think that's why. And like we were talking about, the whole frequency of Ironman, running a marathon after that long of a ride takes so much out of your body, at least for me personally, and the age that I've done it, and I've talked to people that are older, and you know, I don't feel I feel okay after like 3 weeks, and I can like kind of, I can do some training after a week or so, but yeah, well, I'm so out of it mentally. I feel like my, just my hormones are all messed up, and I'm just, yeah, there used to be mental, I'm not in it mentally at all. And it takes a good like 2 months before I'm back and feeling normal again. And to race like 3 or 4 Ironmans a year, you just can't, I just feel like you can't do a proper build up, get ready for the race, recover correctly, and then, you know, get ready again. I mean, I like racing frequently and being able to just empty the tank as much as I can. And Ironman, you can empty the tank, but your body's really damaged after that. So personally, I like to do the shorter races where I can race more frequently, recover for them better. And being that I'm younger still, I know I need to focus more on my speed. Eventually I hope to do more of the Ironman stuff, but and maybe I will someday in the next few years for fun. But right now I think it's overrated to just step up to that big distance right away. I think nobody should really do 4 or 5 Ironmans a year. I think it's good to focus on some speed and really enjoy the sport, because then if you want to enjoy it, you can race more instead of just having to do 5 hour ride after 5 hour ride to get ready for your Ironman.
You mentioned that you're still young. I mean, you're in the 18 to 24 age group in Kona 2015. Have you found that doing an Ironman has slowed you down, that top end speed is not quite, maybe it comes back after a few months, but soon after an Ironman, that top end speed is just not there for you?
Oh, totally. Yeah. I'm very sure it's the same for everyone. I mean, if you want to run fast, you got to run fast. That's how you got to train. And the more marathons, and I think being at a younger age, just my body isn't totally developed yet. I mean, at least that's what people tell me. I don't know. I think the more marathons you run at this age probably isn't the best idea. Just you're running like at the fastest, like 6:30 to 7 minute pace. And if you want to be competitive at the shorter distances, then it's not ideal to spend that much time, at the longer distances. And yeah, so I did Ironman Florida like, 2 falls ago to qualify for Kona. And, I'd done like a month and a half of Ironman specific training, and I had good speed going into it. I did a lot of Olympic distance racing that summer, and I remember that I didn't honor the amount of rest that I needed recovery after that Ironman, and I tried to build up speed again too quickly, and it was the winter and the spring was really, really tough to get it back. So, I mean, I think as we get older and we do more of these races, we learn how much it takes out of you. And just to really be patient with getting speed back, I think if you look at it more of as a long-term big picture thing, I think you can, it's easier to not stress over getting your speed back. It's going to take time. It's a process, but if you're running, you're getting your body used to it again, and if you can build back up. I don't think it's impossible, but I think it's definitely difficult.
Steve, you alluded to it as well, turning pro. The decision to go from being a competitive age grouper to possibly thinking, you know what, I want to try and give this a bash and see if I can make a living out of it. Talk me through that.
This is 2016, my first year, is my first year trying to race as a professional. And in the U.S., you have to qualify for your pro card by doing well at a few different ways you can qualify. I started qualifying to get my pro card for my third or fourth year racing. And pretty much like at every race that I was able to, I was qualifying for it. And I got a lot of pressure initially to, you know, take it and start racing pro, because a lot of people will make the jump that, like, you know, if you qualify, you should take it. Like, if you qualify, that means you're supposed to race pro. But I mean, I was working with my coach Jonathan Mason here at CSU, and I was really hesitant because I had no idea and no desire that to get my pro card. And I had no idea like, oh, I could earn it at this race. I didn't know really until like a few months later or even after the season that a lot of these races I would have been able to take my pro card. But I really was doing it just, I'm doing triathlon to be competitive and just like push myself. And that's why I got out of the races. I'd had no desire to like race at that level just yet. And after a few years, I was towards the front of a lot of the amateur races and I was like placing well or decently, you know, kind of like middle of the pack of the pros. And I started to think, okay, well, maybe I can race with these guys. And last year, the whole focus for me was Kona. And that was kind of like the big race for me for the whole year. And at the other races I did, you know, I was like placing well amongst other pros, amongst like pros, even though I was an age grouper, but I didn't really have the competitiveness that I had the first few years of age group racing. It was kind of just like, unless I was like racing in Colorado there's some really fast age groupers in Colorado. Unless I was racing here, it was less like, I'm kind of on my own. I'm kind of left to pushing myself on my own. And after Kona, I talked with my coach and a lot of people around me, and we thought about it and decided it would be a good move for me. I think what I mostly wanted to get out of it, though, is I wanted to put myself against the best and feel that competitiveness again, and be in a situation where I'm like pushed to my limit and I have to respond. And I think it's definitely done that for sure. It's really difficult to make a living as a professional triathlete. I think it takes a lot of hard work and a lot of like consistent performances over the years. I'm gonna try. I'm not pushing anything. I'm not like in any hurry to get there right now. I want to make sure that I'm enjoying this sport and not getting burnt out. And I think having a team around you that's going to support you if you're going to turn pro is really important. I think my support network in Fort Collins and my family and my friends and the people who I've like connected with over the years through triathlon have, you know, been with me and supported me, and I know they're going to still be there these next few years if I do well, if I don't do so well. And there's going to be times where, you know, I'm really high, I'm feeling great, and there's going to be times where it's low. And I think if I had stepped up to the pro distance to compete in the pro ranks too early, then I would have gotten beaten really bad. And I've known some people where that's happened to them, and they just have not responded well. And it can really crush you mentally if you're not prepared to, you know, take that beating. You're dominating the amateur ranks and you're in your pro card, take it right away, think you're awesome, and you go race and you get beat really bad, and then what? And then you expected something and you didn't get it, and that's a huge letdown. So I think I don't know if I would, I'm not, everybody defines success differently, but I'm happy with how we've kind of built that, how we've kind of developed training and developed me as an athlete throughout the past few years to just be in a good position to compete. And that's all we want to do, is just be competitive at different races and push and learn. And this whole year is about learning. And I'm motivated. I like to race, and I'd like to continue my training and getting better and just see where it can go. If something works out where I can live off triathlon, then that's awesome. But if not, I'm going to be happy with just giving it my best shot. And hopefully I will have been able to have a good time, travel cool places, meet some other cool people. And I've got a lot of good stories to tell already. So yeah, it's been fun.
What's been the biggest surprise to you with that step up? Has it been harder than you thought it would be, or is it what you expected?
I mean, it's hard to know. You see these pros racing all the time, and you don't really know what it feels like. But this year, as I said, like the goal was to just gain experience, and so I picked. First of all, like in North America, Ironman has consolidated a lot of the. So I focused on half Ironman races, and Ironman has consolidated a lot of the races, kind of taking away prize money from some, so that the fields are more competitive. And obviously, there's like more races that are more competitive because there's more prize money. And I've picked very difficult races, so. On purpose, I know I would probably not make any money this year. So I picked, I did, my first race was Puerto Rico. In the past, it's been like a little bit less competitive, but you know, like, Tim O'Donnell showed up, Cam Dye showed up, some pretty Andrew Starkowitz showed up. So some really good, Chris Leiferman, some really good racers were there. And, I was very, very conservative on bike because I knew there was a hard run. So I didn't really race as hard as I might have wanted to. But then the next race I did was Oceanside, which is like the big first hit out for a lot of the top pros in North America. And yeah, I was probably like 15 or 20 guys on the start list that could have won. That could have been in the top five. It was ridiculously competitive. I was swimming in the water and I look next to myself and I see like Jesse Thomas is right there. And then I saw Sebastian Keenlay was on my other side. And I was like, I was just so excited. I mean, it was incredible just to be like, I was racing against these guys and ended up coming out of the water with them. And in the water, I knew, okay, these guys are going to just hit the bike so hard because they're incredible bikers. And I basically just prepared myself mentally to hurt as much as I could to try and stay with them. I got on my shoes as fast as I could and tried to get like a little bit of a head start. And all of a sudden they came by and I just hung on for dear life. Even if I would have tried drafting, like I let them get too big of a gap anyways. And so it was just, keep it as just stay in touch, like just keep them in sight. And so I kept them in sight probably through maybe like 40 miles on the bike. And I could see them up ahead the whole time and they just gradually pulled away. But those 40, that like hour or so, a little bit more over an hour where I was just like on the limit, just holding on, but doing it. Like I was holding on to these guys that I had watched race. It was awesome. It was really cool. It showed me that I can, if I'm like willing to do that, if I'm willing to hurt, that I can stay with these guys. I don't know, they're just people too. So, you know, if I'm hurting, they're hurting. And I think after the race, Jesse posted on Strava like, oh my god, that hurt, or something like that. And so it was good to know that, okay, this wasn't just like a normal ride, like they were riding really hard too. So I think it's been good for me to see how hard these guys race, how hard these top guys race in order to be the best. And that motivates me to, I don't think you have to turn yourself inside out every day in training, but to really make sure that you're working hard and that you're willing to really hurt when it counts on the bike and on the run. So, yeah, still working on that, but, it's motivating to be able to have just been in the same race and been in person witnessing this happen. So, yeah.
That's awesome. I think that's one of the big attractions to Kona as well. And I know right now Kona's probably, you're talking about getting faster and I'm sure you'd want to get back to the Big Island. But as an age group in 2015 racing on the Big Island, that's a pretty cool experience too. You talk about being on the same course as the best athletes in the world. And it must be a great feeling where with the turnaround points on the Big Island where you get to see how you're faring against the best athletes in the world on the same course on the same day.
Yeah. I think that's what one of the things that makes triathlon unique is, if you're at a race where there are the top pros in the world, then you can like compare yourself to them because it's the same course, the same day. So relatively the same conditions. And yeah, I was, I might have been more excited seeing them on the climb up to Hy-Vee. It was, I was enough towards the front of the age group race where I didn't really have to worry about, being drafting or whatever. There's enough gaps. And so I was like, I wonder who's going to be coming down first. Like, is it going to be Keenley just off the front hammering? Is it going to be, I don't know, Frodeno? And it was so cool because you know, we watch it on TV. We see these big packs, and that's what it was like them coming down. It was just like this long train. Well, first you see the helicopter off in the distance coming down towards you. And then they just come, and it's like, oh my God, there's Tim Moda. Oh my God, yeah, Frodeno. It's like heads just snapping back and forth watching them go by. And at everybody who you followed for the past few years, and you're like a moment for a few minutes, I forget about my race and just like want to watch what's going down there. And yeah, it's so cool. And then seeing them on the run too, and seeing them on the run is really, it's interesting too, because and you know, they seem untouchable, but when they're on that run in the marathon, they're on the Queen K, they're hurting so bad. It's just, it looks really painful. And, just to see that they're human and that they hurt as well is, I don't know. You suffer better when you have other company. So it's motivating to see that and motivating to see how they react and fight through it. So yeah, Kona is incredible with that. It's so cool to see these idols out there doing their thing and, just watching them. It's really awesome.
I love that. Well, Steve, thanks for sharing your journey with us into the sport. Best of luck. I look forward to getting you back on to chat a little bit about the four disciplines, the swim, bike, run, and nutrition. But we'll save that for another one. Thanks so much for your time today.
Awesome. Thank you, Brad. Have a good one.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Kona Edge. Don't forget to connect with us on social media. Simply search for the Kona Edge.
Don't forget, you can get a free audiobook download and 30-day free Audible trial at thekonaedge.com/free-trial. One of the 180,000 titles available right now, and you can download it free, is Dan Golding's Winning at 70.3, How to Dominate the Middle Distance.
This book will save you a ton of time and help you train smarter and focus your attention correctly where it needs to be. Time is of the essence. You need to be even more careful with time and make sure all your training sessions count, have a strong purpose, and a definite purpose. You need to ensure you know how to enhance recovery, eat well, and sleep well. Training smart means you do not avoid the things you don't like to do. You find out what the best athletes do, and you do that. I have tried to make this book as clear and straightforward as possible, with explanations of jargon or technicalities where necessary, but I have tried to stay focused on practical strategies that you can use today, this week, and this month to move you closer to your goal of mastering the 70.3 distance like a pro.
To download that book, head over to thekonaedge.com/free-trial. If you'd like to access the commercial free feed of The Kona Edge, go to thekonaedge.com/support.